I was very impressed that the fact that you actually made this film. I'm curious, the genesis of My Darling Vivian.
Well, you know, Dustin, I don't know if you know, is my husband. So
yes,
Kathy
yes.
is my mother-in-law, and we're very close. And over the years, you know, I didn't grow up with much country music. I came from a more classical piano jazz background. All that I really knew of Johnny Cash was what I had seen in the film Walk the Line. And so over the years, Kathy would tell me stories about her mom.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear a tale about what happened on the House on the Hill in Cathedral Springs, I'm thinking to myself, well, why is this not in that film? Where is this narrative? Okay, everything you've been told before is either an abridged version of the truth or just flat out myth.
At the top of the show, you heard director Matt Riddlehoover. His new documentary film, My Darling Vivian, is now available streaming on Amazon Prime as part of the South by Southwest 2020 Film Festival. My Darling Vivian tells the story of Johnny Cash's first wife and mother of four daughters with Johnny, Roseanne, Kathy, Cindy, and Tara, all of whom share their family history with the filmmakers. Speaking of family, Dustin Tittle is the grandson of Vivian and husband of director Matt Riddlehoover. The husband and husband team had exclusive access to never-before-seen footage and photographs used in the film. More from Matt and Dustin in just a moment. Right now, we're going to play you a short clip from the film as Roseanne Cash reveals the strain of fame on Vivian.
She was a very private person and was not prepared for all of the attention and public life and my dad's notoriety and fame. There was nothing in her past that would have prepared her for that. And it's nothing she ever wanted. And then, of course, when there was something that was negative, like when he got arrested for bringing pills across the border from Mexico, something like that just devastated her.
Would you like to touch on, you know, researching, you know, getting all those images together? And it must have been such a long process. I'm thinking years to put this together.
We started September of 2017. I think that's when we received the first box, giant box from Tara of photos and documents to sift through. And I was there in Portland, actually.
Oh, really?
But yeah, it was just this collective effort, you know, receiving so many materials from Roseanne, Kathy, Cindy, and Tara. I think it was a discovery process for everyone involved, too. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've heard from any of them, like, oh my gosh, where'd you get this picture? I've never seen that, or I've never seen that video.
So many images. I loved how you added the smoking cigarette to a couple of the stills. I really loved how you brought those to life, those images.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I was very impressed that the fact that you actually made this film. I'm curious, the genesis of My Darling Vivian.
Well, you know, Dustin, I don't know if you know, is my husband. So
yes,
Kathy
yes.
is my mother-in-law, and we're very close. And over the years, you know, I didn't grow up with much country music. I came from a more classical piano jazz background. Mm-hmm. All that I really knew of Johnny Cash was what I had seen in the film Walk the Line. And so over the years, Kathy would tell me stories about her mom.
Yeah.
You know, when I hear a tale about what happened on the House on the Hill in Cathedral Springs, I'm thinking to myself, well, why is this not in that film? Where is this narrative? And so I just always found that curious. And it wasn't until I was toying with the notion of making a documentary, actually about a mutual friend of ours who is in her 70s and she's lived a very colorful life herself. It wasn't until we pitched the idea to her and she would have absolutely nothing to do with it that she kind of turned the tables and said, no, you need to make a film about Dustin's grandmother.
Yeah.
And so we sat with it for a couple of weeks because honestly, it just seemed like a really huge responsibility to basically say like, okay, everything you've been told before is, you know, either an abridged version of the truth or just flat out myth. And so it was really important to get Roseanne, Kathy, Cindy, and Tara all on board to do this. And that was really the only way that what we were, and we were very lucky to get them all to agree to it.
Vivian actually published her own book. It's very well received. It's very well reviewed. I Walked the Line, My Life with Johnny, and this was source material, I'm sure, for this film.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of interviews with the four daughters, Tara, Cindy, Kathy, whom you related to, and Roseanne Cash. Roseanne Cash, the little mother.
Yes.
By the way, there was a nice variety piece on this flick. You must be pleased with that.
Oh, yes. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Very pleased.
Yeah. I'm curious how you got involved with South by Southwest. Was it through the Film Collaborative, or how did that happen, this relationship?
Well, you know, in the business end of things, it's always trying to figure out what is the best fit for the film itself and where to premiere and where to launch. And, you know, the Film Collaborative, they're our festival distributor and our sales agent. It was always South by. South by was the goal. And we got in. And, you know, due to COVID-19, the festival was canceled. For the past month or so, we were kind of just scrambling and just kind of like sitting around and thinking, what happens now?
Yeah.
Because we did have a nice festival schedule. We had festivals in Cleveland and Sarasota and Annapolis, North Carolina, and on for spring and summer. And so it wasn't until South by came back to us and approached us with this deal from Amazon that, you know, we didn't think that it would be possible to get Vivian's story out to audiences as soon as we are now. So it's just a tremendous gift that they've given us this opportunity.
Yeah, I'm really glad. Again, I just love the fact that you followed through 2.5 years of work and you get to distribute it through Amazon. Ian Hughes composed a lot of music for this film. It plays a big role in the telling the narrative of Vivian's life.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Ian's brilliant. This is our second time working together, and he's just an absolute dream.
We learn a lot about Vivian's life, from shooting rattlesnakes to all the letters that she wrote back and forth with Johnny. This is touched on a lot in Greg Laurie's book, and it really endeared me to Vivian. I felt like she was a tragic figure in that book. A funny moment, she laid money out on the bed when Johnny Cash got paid for a tour. Apparently that was a good night.
Yeah, apparently so.
But, you know, things went south. But what really struck me was how loyal Vivian was to Johnny throughout her entire life. Just this enduring love. For me, that's very touching. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, to feel that strongly and for that to be unbreakable, it's remarkable, you know.
And I'd like to touch on working with each of the sisters, beginning with Tara, who's the co-producer, along with you, Dustin.
It was really interesting, and it was also really rewarding because just for me personally, this entire process was a really interesting way to create a deepening of the relationships I already had with each of my aunts and to you know, a lesser extent with my mother. And all the while, we are all sort of reliving this family experience with completely different glasses on, you know, and the whole thing. Aunt Tara was incredibly involved and supportive, at least as far as just sending us materials and identifying people in them and, you know, being completely and unflinchingly supportive of us through the entire process, which, you know, as I'm sure you can imagine, was peaks, valleys, and everything in between. But I can say without a doubt that as far as Aunt Tara was concerned and her involvement, there's absolutely no way that we could have done this without her.
Did it bring the family closer, you think?
Without a doubt. As we began to show it to new people and new groups of people within the family, it was really interesting. I was able to have conversations with my aunts and also with my mom and with my cousins about my grandparents that I had never had before because I had never had a reason to have them. And I know that there were also some moments too that just upon first viewing of it, my mom and her sisters were learning new things about themselves and about their own relationships with each other. I can tell you that my mom was incredibly moved the first time and still is moved every time she sees it by the segment in the film where my Aunt Roseanne is talking about how important protecting my mother specifically was and how moved and traumatizing it was when my mom became very close to death at a very young age. You know, my mom, I looked at her when she was watching that for the first time and she had tears running down her face and she just looked at Matt and me and said, I had no idea the impression this left on Roseanne. You know, so in a lot of ways, it's been really enriching as far as just the bonds that we as a family have been able to forge, despite the fact that we've always been close. It's added a new depth of closeness to it.
Wow, that's a good answer.
I have been so close to Aunt Cindy since a young age. You know, I kind of always, as a teenager and as a youngster, she was my second mother. The day that we sat down with an interview with Aunt Cindy was really kind of in a way fun because it was like being at her kitchen table again. It was playful. It was emotional. She was telling, you know, me things and telling the crew that were there things that I had never heard before. And it was kind of remarkable. And one really sort of amazing thing about the interview process with Aunt Cindy was in the movie, when we interviewed her, she was wearing this ring. And we were done. I had pointed at it and said, oh my God, I love your ring. You know, it's got my birthstone, which is ruby in it. And it was just I liked it.
Yeah.
And she took it off her hand and gave it to me and said, well, then it's yours. And I recently, you know, had the ring sort of converted into a more traditionally masculine shape so that I could wear it and it made sense for me to wear it. Mm-hmm. But I've got this memento now from my experience with Aunt Cindy and this film on my right hand every day. And that's just incredibly special to me.
Oh, man.
Kathy was also tremendously helpful throughout this process. And, you know, we all live in Nashville. So she was the closest and most accessible, especially during the discovery process and when I was making the outline for the interviews. And she was kind of our guinea pig. She was our first interview. So any ideas or notions I had about what to cover that didn't come from the book came from Kathy, just, you know, sitting around the kitchen table, sitting in the living room and talking at great length about Vivian and about what Kathy remembered most clearly from her childhood. In that way, she was very instrumental in my constructing of the outline.
Did you read all the 1,000+ letters or did you make it through most of them?
You know, I don't know how long that would take, but no, not all of them. Yeah. But, you know, obviously read all of the letters that Vivian had published in her book. And, you know, we had access to all of them. And I scanned as many as humanly possible without, you know, falling over. But, you know, that was also a really interesting experience, too, just being able to hold them and go through them and read them, because I discovered some really interesting puzzle pieces in doing that. And I think, you know, you
Yeah, they were chronologically organized by Vivian. Incredible. Lots of photos,
yeah.
You know, mixed in, too, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
You know what I couldn't figure out is when, as Vivian aged, the bells, she had bells all over the place in her house. What was that about?
You know, Roseanne is the only one that talks about that at all. But from my understanding and from what I gathered, and, you know, I asked, after Roseanne talked about it, I asked her in a way that it could be set up in the film. My personal belief is, after everything she went through in Casitas, why wouldn't she have bells like lined around her house?
Okay,
I mean,
I can't
imagine, you know, in the days before modern alarm technology, of course, just so you can feel safe at night.
Yeah. And at the end of the film, in the credits, there's 3 pages of you, you know, making note of all the photo materials and the archival materials. That was, you know, probably the what took the longest, right? Of, you know, making this film, putting this film together, like sorting through all this archival material, Sun Records, the Four Sisters, and, you know, sourcing and what have you. That must have been an exhaustive process.
It was, but it was also extremely enjoyable. You know, it was a task for sure, but it was really exciting. Like, how do I best illustrate this? You know, they've given me such rich materials already and such great stories, but what else can I bring in? And so it was like this tantalizing plum dropped in front of me, and it's like, okay, let's run with this. And what TV shows and movies and documentaries do I need to digest now?
Yeah, Columbo.
Yeah. Yeah, well, which is ironic because, you know, a few years ago, Dustin and I wrote a crime thriller together, and that all started when we got into Columbo as a result of watching his grandfather's episode.
Right.
So when it came up that Vivian watched all of his shows, it was like, well, of course we have to go back to that.
Yeah, bumbling Columbo, just one more thing as he's leaving.
Yes.
So I hope you take this to the festival circuit whenever, you know, life resumes as normal. Where do you plan on showing this if the world continues to spin in a circle?
Oh, my goodness. You know, I mean, as of right now, what with the world not quite spinning, we are going to see if we can continue to do virtual festivals. We have Northwest Fest Documentary Festival next month in Canada. Beyond that, I don't know. But, after this entire experience, and it's been so rewarding so far to see the outpouring of just praise and love for Vivian on social media in the past 24 hours. But, you know.
Can you tell me about that love you're receiving?
Oh, for sure. I mean, since the film went up early yesterday morning, the night before last, our phones are just blowing up. I mean, right. Folks on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter, they're just falling in love with her. And that's just, that is one of the most rewarding feelings, just to know that her truth is out there and people are accepting it and really feeling for her. But also, at the end of the day, selfishly as a filmmaker, there's nothing more exciting than being able to experience the film with an audience in person, to have the theater lights go down and to be in a sea of people and to just feel it. And so, you know, we're hopefully we can share an experience like that in the not too distant future. But for right now, it's such a unique and exciting time to be able to beam her into the living rooms and bedrooms of everyone in America right now.
You know what I loved is that, you know, when she wrote this book, the name she used was Vivian Cash.
Yes.
Really says a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely.
She walked the line. Thanks so much, Matt and Dustin. Really glad you made this film. This was very touching. It pulls on the heartstrings a little bit. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Matt and Dustin. Boy, you know, I really meant that. I was very genuine when I said I was touched by this film. Today's show was produced and edited by me, Gregory Day. If you'd like to contact me directly, you can reach me at greg@pdxpodcast.com. We'll be back with Rose McGowan. Please stay safe and take care of yourselves.